Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter Number 11, Svayam Bhuvamanu advises Dhruva Maharaj. Text number 19. Sonantong takara kalo nadhiradi kridavyaya janam janena janayan marayan mrityunantakam sonantong takara kalo nadhiradi kridavyaya janam janena janayan marayan mrityunantakam Sanantanta karakalo nadiradi kridavyaya janam janena janayan marayan mrinyunantakam.
Sanantanta karakalo nadiradi kridavyaya Janam janena janayan marayan mrityunantakam.
Word for word equivalent.
Sa.
He.
He.
Ananta.
Ananta.
Infinite.
Infinite.
Antakara.
Antakara.
Annihilator.
Annihilator.
Gala.
Gala.
Time.
Time.
Anadi.
Anadi.
Without beginning.
Without beginning.
Adikrit.
Adikrit.
Beginning of everything.
Beginning of everything.
Avyaya.
Avyaya.
Without decrease.
Without decrease.
Janam.
Janam.
Living entities.
Living entities.
Janena.
Janena.
By living entities.
By living entities.
Janayan.
Janayan.
Causing to be born.
Causing to be born.
Marayan.
Marayan.
Killing.
Killing.
Mrtuna.
Mrtuna.
By death.
By death.
Antakam.
Antakam.
Killers.
Killers.
Translation. My dear Dhruva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ever existing, but in the form of time. He is the killer of everything. He has no beginning, although he is the beginning of everything. Nor is he exhaustible, although everything is exhausted in due course of time. Living entities are created through the agency of the Father and killed through the agency of death, but he is perpetually free of birth and death. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Authority and inconceivable power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be minutely studied from this verse. He is always unlimited. That means that he has no creation or end. He is, however, death in the form of time, as described in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I am death. I take away everything at the end of life. Eternal time is also without beginning, but it is the creator of all creatures. The example is given of touchstone, which creates many valuable stones and jewels, but does not decrease in power. Similarly, creation occurs many times. Everything is maintained, and after a time, everything is annihilated. But the original creator, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, remains untouched and undiminished in power. The secondary creation is made by Brahma, but Brahma is created by the Supreme Godhead. Lord Shiva annihilates the whole creation, but at the end he is also annihilated by Vishnu. Lord Vishnu remains. In the Vedic hymns, it is stated that in the beginning there is only Vishnu, and at the end alone, and that he alone remains at the end. An example can help us to understand the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Lord. In the recent history of warfare, the Supreme Personality of Godhead created a Hitler, and before that, a Napoleon Bonaparte, and they killed They each killed many living entities in a war. But in the end, Bonaparte and Hitler were also killed. People are still very much interested in writing and reading books about Hitler and Bonaparte and how they killed so many people in a war. Year after year, many books are published for public reading regarding Hitler's killing thousands of Jews in confinement. But no one is researching who killed Hitler, and who killed such a gigantic killer of human beings, and who created, such a gigantic killer of human beings. The devotees of the Lord are not much interested in the study of the flickering history of the world. They are interested only in Him who is the original creator, maintainer, and annihilator. That is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyashcha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sonantanta kara kalo nadir adi kurdit avyaya janan janena janayan marayan mrityun. Nantakam. The power of the Supreme Lord is being focused on here, his inconceivable power, that he is the killer of everything. He is the end of everything. It's been described previously how he was the creator of everything, then how he's the maintainer, and finally now how he is the destroyer of everything. Lord Brahma confirms this in Brahma Samhita in the opening verse. Ishwara Parama Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Anadir, he does not have a beginning. No Adi. Anadi. Anadir, Adir, he is the beginning. Anadir, Adir, Govinda. Sarva Karana Karanam. He's the cause of all causes. So there's a cause of creation, cause of maintenance and a cause of destruction. He's the cause of all of those things. But he himself is not caused. The things which he causes then appear to act independently. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that how this world depends on him. How he maintains things is the same way that pearls are strung on a thread. This whole world is resting on me as pearls are strung on a thread. If we look at a pearl necklace, or any necklace with beads, you see the beads, but you don't see the string. In the same way, we see earth, fire, water, air, ether. If we're a little intelligent, we see mind, intelligence, and false ego. But we don't see what is holding all of these things together. We don't see the string under the beads. So a child could look at the necklace and assume that there's nothing inside, it's just balls together. But if we see the world like that, that's also childish, to assume that there's no string holding the beads together. As devotees, we're being trained how to love Krishna, so we have to hear about his power. Generally, we focus on hearing about Krishna's sweetness, about his love for his devotees. In the form of Bhagavad Gita, he expresses his commitment to every living entity. Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, he's the best friend of every living entity. He advises Arjuna so that he gets free from suffering out of his kindness. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, he's performing so many sweet and charming, wonderful pastimes, which we can meditate on, and in that way get some more and more affection for Krishna. Wake up our affection, which is actually already in the heart. But some people are just not attracted to the mode of goodness. They're more interested in power and destruction. So there are verses that explain, Kalos me, I'm also time, death, I'm the great destroyer of the worlds. So some people will be inclined toward that. Right on. I remember when I first met a devotee on campus, he gave me this Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram verse, because I was interested in every living entity. And I went away from him feeling so happy. Then another devotee, who he must have been traveling with, came up to me and showed me a picture of Lord Narsimhadev tearing open the entrails of Hiranyakashipu. I had long hair, and so I guess he thought I must have been some kind of like rough guy, and he showed me, he's like, check it out, he's giving his entrails torn to pieces and worn as a garland, isn't that awesome? I was like, yeah, I guess so. I didn't even know that that was a devotee.
No.
I didn't know that this was the same book I saw 20 minutes before, because the presentation was radically different, because Krishna consciousness has appeal for everyone, different kinds of people. I was not even able to recognize that that was Krishna. But somebody else, they won't be so impressed to see that Krishna steals butter. But when they see that Hiranyakashipu is being dealt justice, maybe that's what they need. They need to see that. There's something for everyone. So in this verse, there's a lot of mention of death. Killing everyone. And this is actually, if viewed in the context of the conversation between Swayambhuva Manu and Dhruva Maharaj, it's another way for Swayambhuva Manu to convince Dhruva Maharaj that you're not actually responsible to have to kill all these yakshas. Don't think that this is your duty. Krishna is the killer of everyone. You don't have to actually take all this on yourself. It's actually a manifestation of ahamkara. If you do that, you're thinking that you're the doer, when in reality Krishna is the doer. The conditioned soul, bewildered by the modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities which are in reality carried out by the modes of material nature. Ahamkara vibhutatma. It ends in kartaham iti manyate. He thinks, I am the doer. That's another quote of use of the word iti. Kartaham iti manyate. I'm the doer, like he thinks. So Dhruva is in the middle of a battle. He's all enwrapped in the idea of killing these yakshas. And so Swayambhuva Manu is relating to him on that level where he's at. This is important in Krishna consciousness. If we're given responsibility for helping someone else in Krishna consciousness, let's say it's my son, or if someone else is asking me for advice in Krishna consciousness, then I need to be able to present Krishna consciousness according to his interests and his fears, whatever it is that he's wrapped up in at the moment. We should try to find how Krishna connects to that thing, because that's personal. Then it'll touch their heart very easily. But the danger is that Chanakya Pandit says, everyone thinks another person to be like himself. We present Krishna consciousness according to our own realization. That's good, but part of our realization should be to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes also. We should develop that realization. That will help us to, first it'll help us to realize more ourselves. By seeing through somebody else's shoes, we'll learn lessons. We'll learn to see Krishna from another perspective that we might not have otherwise seen. And secondly, it helps us to assist them, obviously. This kind of community building really pleases Krishna. He says in Bhagavad Gita that for one who explains the supreme science to the devotees, no one is more dear to me than him, nor will one ever be more dear to me than him. Now how, there's, so there's, we should, What the question may be asked, then how do we develop that empathy? How do we learn to see through somebody else's perspective? Best thing is to ask and listen. Developing that humility and patience to listen to somebody else express what they're going through is one of the six loving exchanges given by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction. Revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially. What's going on? Be there as a friend. It's common knowledge among people that listening builds relationships, it builds trust. And so devotees also have this understanding. We just have to access it from our scripture, and then we'll be able to respect that when we see it in others. We can see that there are people who are very expert at listening and developing relationships. Now, just because their subject matter is wrong, it's selfish, ultimately, that doesn't mean that their skills in community building and relationship development are useless. They're just misdirected. Just like a building, this is a house. It's not useless. It's just... it's being directed, it can be directed toward Krishna, or it can be directed to something else. Everything in the world is value neutral. It can be either spiritualized or materialized by Krishna's, by service. Gross or subtle, anything can be used in Krishna's service. so we what we have to do is find what we have in our sphere of influence. I've got some money, I've got some influence on people, I've got some knowledge or some inclination, some interest, whatever I've got, if I can direct it toward the Lord under the guidance of the spiritual master, there's practically no limit to how I can use my time in Krishna service. And that's a state of happiness and fearlessness. Not just me, anyone. So that's potentially happiness and fearlessness for everyone on earth, which is a very wonderful thing. Which is required, actually, if there's going to be a heaven on earth kind of situation. There should be no fearlessness. At the very least, we need to improve the standard of living a few notches from where it is now. Right now, things are, there's a lot of room for improvement in modern day society. We can say it that way. Just as in the macrocosm, so in the microcosm. Within each one of us, there's a lot of room for improvement also. So that's that common ground that common ground will give us an ability to assist people in reviving their dormant Krishna consciousness. First, to accept that I have a lot of room to grow. Then we have something in common. The people we're talking to. I'm not better than you. But this thing has helped me, and it maybe you'll like it too. So we share the chanting. Primarily, we share the chanting. That's the main thing we do. Sankirtan. The books are also shared. The prasadam. Art, whatever it may be, there's something attractive for everyone. As Prabhupada writes, the devotees of the Lord are interested only in Him who is the original creator, maintainer, and annihilator. So whatever it is that has been created, that's okay. But it becomes Krishnized by showing its relationship to Krishna, by engaging it in Krishna's service. Then that thing, let's say, someone bakes a cake. It's a piece of cake. Okay, nice. If you offer it to Krishna, though, and you give the cake to somebody, they're getting Krishna consciousness, whether they know it or not. Same thing with the holy name of the Lord. It's on the same platform as Krishna, the absolute platform. It's spiritualized. Srila Prabhupada would, in the beginning, would mostly just chant in 26 Second Avenue in 1966. Most of his work was chanting. He gave classes also, but mostly he would be chanting and cooking and cleaning. People fell in love with him for that. They didn't understand the philosophy. There's evidence of that. There are videos of the students. They didn't actually properly understand the philosophy. But they loved Prabhupada. Somehow or other. That method of just getting people to love a devotee, that's the perfection of existence. That's what Krishna wants. He wants us to love the devotees. Because that's what happens in the spiritual world. There's just love of the devotees. Ultimately, that makes you love Krishna. In the beginning, people might react against spiritual life. There's a phrase, abhor, ignore, adore. That's the general system of the way people react to the Krishna consciousness movement when it's introduced into a subset of culture. People first abhor it, then they ignore it, and finally they adore it. If it just remains there as it is, proper Krishna consciousness. If it just remains, that generally, that's the cycle. You fear what you don't understand, turn a blind eye, then something happens in your life, and Krishna pulls them near to find shelter in Krishna consciousness. They adore it. Okay, would you like to share anything?
Well, I was wondering what you think about, you were saying that you should try to relate to those, to others, and it seems like that, you know, the Christians are usually really difficult to you know, to reach, and, you know, in the end, you know, probably best to let them have what they want, you know, do what they do and follow their own tradition. But there are things, like I know Prabhupada tried to, you know, did a lot of preaching to Christians about not eating meat and stuff like that. How do you think, what's the best way to, do you have any methods for taking hands to approach Christians so that they're not so defensive about things?
I don't approach them. They usually approach me. If they approach me, I listen to them just long enough to get an idea. Do they want a dialogue or do they want a monologue? If they just want to attack me, then I say seven words. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal savior. And then they go away. And it's true, I do. That's enough. That doesn't shake their faith, and they move on. But if I can tell that this person is interested in something non-sectarian, then there's some scope, and I ask them, what do you do? What's your job? I try to just get to know them as they are. Well, what are you interested in? What, do you have hobbies? Are you a student? What are you studying? What's your major? Basic things. Get to know them on a personal level. That's the first step. Gradually then, things will go on in their life where they'll reveal more about what's going on with them. Then you can connect Krishna to them in a way that's personally relevant. But they have to give that to you. And it takes patience. It takes time to build a relationship. Sometimes we want to fast forward our relationships, and actually that means we want to be in control. But a loving relationship is a two-way street, and we need to submit some of that control to the other person so that there can be a trust.
Do you ever have any advice for them that's similar to what devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement do, but that they can do, you know, their own, you know, any.
Yeah, like I get the idea. If especially if they're saying, hey, then usually they'll point it out. They'll point out the similarities. Like, I've got beads. They'll say, hey, what are those? These are beads for praying on. Oh. And I'll say, do you also have beads that you pray on? And I'll ask them and I'll let them answer. You know? That feels good. Because then they feel that they've discovered the connection themselves between the traditions. People like to have ownership of their own realizations. Instead of feeling that this guy's telling me his beliefs. No, I'm sharing and I'm realizing it myself. That when you discover it yourself, you retain it more. So yeah, like these are beads for praying. Do you also have beads for praying? And if he's Catholic, he'll probably say, yeah, I do. You know? Or, you know, whatever it may be, do you pray? Something simple like that. Yeah, I pray. We also pray. And we can talk about verses which are similar. Harinam, Harinam, Harinamaiva Kevalam. Kala Nasdeva, Nasdeva, Nasdeva Gatiranyata. Always chant the holy names of the Lord. That's the recommended thing for this day and age. Well, let's look at Psalms 113. From the rising of the sun till the setting, the name of the Lord should be glorified. It's the same principle. And in Quran, it's said that of all names, the most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call on Him by them. Very sweet. And there's 99 names in the Quran alone that you can choose from. But we try not to speak too much from their scripture, because they know it better than we do. Let them do the realization and connection. We speak from Bhagavad Gita, because we know Bhagavad Gita. We'll be like the ambassador of Vedic culture for them. Yeah, it's up to them to respect it or not. We can't force that. But we can do, you know, we can just be ourselves, and if they're sincere, they'll respect it. Otherwise, Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Give them what they want to hear. In that case, if they just want to fight, okay. I'm not going to give you further ammunition. I'm going to disarm you by letting you think you've won. Because actually, they're on the gradual path of winning. It's just going to take a long time. Did that address your concern?
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing is sanctified food. The Catholic tradition has a few extra things in common with Krishna consciousness compared to certain other Christian traditions, so it's pretty easy to relate with Catholic people. They have the body of Christ, for example, which is sanctified food. It's prasadam, basically. In medieval times, there was a group of monks who wanted to eat nothing but those Body of Christ wafers. They didn't last very long, but they had that sentiment. Like, devotees only take prasad, things like that. They'll also try to only take the Body of Christ. But mostly, I don't focus on people of other spiritual traditions. And if they are, I don't focus on the fact that they're in other spiritual traditions. I just try to know who they are personally. That's what makes a friendship, I think. A deep friendship. One that's not conditional, because one day they might convert to another religion, and then our relationship is lost if it's based on that religion. This idea of multiple religions is a man-made concoction. There's actually only one thing, and that's to love God. Whether you love Him with one name or another is—that's another issue. But that's not the essential thing. We just try to attract people to spiritual life, to love of God. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say, "If you have a name of the Lord, you chant the name that you know. If you don't have a name of the Lord that you know, then please take this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra." Just yesterday I was in the bus terminal getting a ticket, and I met a gentleman from India. And I spoke to him. I asked in Hindi, I asked, "Do you speak Hindi?" I spoke a little with him in Hindi. And then he was asking, "How do you know Hindi?" So I was explaining that I'm the pujari here at the Krishna Mandir, and we were talking. He revealed that actually he's a Catholic. He was Catholic back in India, but he was going through some hard times. I could smell alcohol on him. He was homeless here in America. His it was a complicated situation. Family broke up here in America, so now he had no home. And so I recommended that he find a nice Catholic church and get a good relationship going with the local priest, and that he'd be all right. That captivated him. That really affected him. So that's what we want. We want people's faith to increase. Is that okay? Thank you. All right, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Okay.